The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Best Of Podcast.
Brandon Marcella joining us for the next hour. He was at Pac-12 Media Days. He sat down with the new Pac-12 commissioner. We'll get that take in just a few minutes. We opened with Bruce Pearl from Jerusalem. We're just here taking your phone calls right now. And let's check in with Tim, who is in Atlanta. Hello, Tim.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I was wondering, I'm a big Georgia fan. This is my first time calling in. I was wondering when Texas and Oklahoma are added to the conference, will you guys be changing the theme song?
I would say absolutely. In fact, you know, I think the question is, do we add on, or do we?
Yeah, that's what I was.
Or do we? Or do we start all over again? Is the question. I don't know the answer, but we definitely will change.
Oh, most definitely. All right, thanks so much, Paul.
Yeah, we should just go out and get a. Any good singers from Texas or Oklahoma? Bet we could find one. Oklahoma's produced a lot of great artists. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Rivers is up next in Georgia. Hey, Rivers.
Hey, Paul. I have a question about the young quarterback in Florida,
right?
Anthony Richardson. What's your opinion on him? Overrated or underrated?
Oh, I think he's underrated. You know, the people that know him best believe he could be one of the best quarterbacks in the country this year.
Yeah, I know it says I'm from Georgia, but I'm a huge Gator fan, and I just needed to know that. But what also do you think about Billy Napier? Like, what's your big opinion on him?
Well, I like Napier. I think he's smart. I think he's well organized. I think it's just going to take a little time to get recruiting up to where it has to be. You can't win in the SEC and compete with the big dogs unless you recruit on the same level. There's only so much development you can do. And there is a lot of frustration there that the recruiting has not started as quickly as it needs to. But I think he's capable. I think there's a lot to overcome in Florida, though. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Mike is in Virginia. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Paul, how's it going today?
We're doing great, Mike. Thank you.
I just have one question. You know, I've been listening to your show every day for several years now.
Thank you.
And you're welcome. I'd like to know why I-Man thinks he has to come on your show every day, and he don't talk sports most times. He just comes on just to bully Jim Tuscaloosa.
Yeah, you're right, and I don't think it's fair to bully Jim because Jim's just a nice guy who never picks on anybody.
Yeah, well, that's all I have. And the second thing I can ask you is Cat, I'd like to get some of the Cat Daddy's money if he thinks South Carolina's going to ever beat Clemson.
Yeah, you know, Cat Daddy's been on the show about 5 years, and I think his script remains the same.
Yeah. Okay, hey, thank you. Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Good to hear from you. And let's check in with Red in Alabama. Hello, Red.
What's going on, Paul?
Red, we are doing well. Thank you.
Man, I just wanted to come on here and say I've been a huge fan for many years, and I really enjoy your show and everything. And I think this NIL is doing good for college football, man. I like seeing these other SEC teams and other schools, period, do good and recruit. I think it's good for college football to see other schools besides, you know, the main four getting the top recruits, you know.
Well, you know, Red, I find it fascinating that Nick Saban has continually talked about wanting to go back to the days when there was parity in college football, and you juxtapose that versus what you just got through saying, it does open the door for more schools. You're right. You know, whether it's sustainable or not, it probably isn't. But if you got a smart operation and you have the right coach and can raise enough money, you can get in the game on certain players And sometimes that's really all that matters. I mean, look at the University of Miami. That's a program that has had more false starts than a 100-meter sprinter at the Olympics. And now, because of Mario Cristobal, they're game changers. They're back in the conversation again, and may stay that way. JK is up next.
Paul, what's going on, babe?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I can't complain, but hey, let me preface this call with the words of, with all due respect. First of all, the blaspheme that you just spewed out your mouth about my Hurricanes is one thing we will do when you talk about false starts. We do put gold jackets on our ex-players. Now, let me address a couple of callers. AC, you could be a good caller, but don't make every call about Jim. Please don't. Our man, he used to be an A-minus caller. Now he's about a C-plus because he want to talk about Jim all the time. Bring something to the table. Talk about sports. And I want to address this young man that called you, the 12-year-old. He asked you one simple question, Paul.
Braylon, yeah.
And you did your best impression of MC Hammer, Fred Astaire, whichever one you want to use.
I like
and
MC.
And around the question. Hey, Paul. I thought I was watching Bugs Bunny and Friends because you kind of sound like Porky the Pig. Just answer the question, Paul. Not only are you a fan, you are the top Secret Service agent for Nick Saban. And this other thing, Paul.
Yeah, you know,
hold on,
JK. We need to settle that. I resent that remark.
No, you resemble that remark. Hey, Paul, check this out. Blaspheme, disrespect. I can't find the word that really gets to me about what you said about ACC basketball. You said that ACC is not what it used to be in basketball, but you turned right around about three words later and said they had two teams in the Final Four. But you also forgot my Miami Hurricanes were one of the teams in the Elite Eight. So we had three teams in the top eight. So stop down in the ACC, baby, because you know what conference is the best in basketball.
Hey, JK, help me out here some. I'm trying to remember who won the national championship. Was it one of those ACC schools?
It was not.
Hmm. Does anyone care who came in eighth place?
Paul, you said the ACC. You said they were down. What?
That's not what I said. I said the ACC commissioner finally got smart for one moment and said that football is first in the ACC.
Paul, you said the ACC was down in basketball. With three in the Elite Eight and two in the Final Four, you were just wrong. It's okay to be wrong sometimes.
I'm going to sound like Bugs Bunny again.
Hey, Paul. I take Utah State in the points, and I take Miami in the points. You have a good day.
I'm going to try. Not sure it's. I don't know if I can have a good day after that call. I mean, he slammed my good friend I-Man. He slammed me. That is going to take some getting over. I-Man, can you bail me out here? Because I'm just not capable of responding to an Einstein scholar like J.K.
What did he say?
Yeah, I don't know. He said something.
You know, I've heard my name mentioned a couple of times here, and it's in reference to Jim, of course. And what these people have failed to realize, I ignored Jim for 10 years, and he's attacked everybody. And me merely responding doesn't make every one of my calls about Jim. But let's just put this into realistic terms, Paul. What was Jim's prime? Maybe, what, 18? Let's just say 18. You know what that makes me? That makes him a senior in high school and me a first grader. And now the first grader is wearing his ass out every day. And it's because I've got a life. And you talking about growing up and drinking milk and eating Wheaties? If it wasn't for Jim taping a picture of himself on a Wheaties box, which his daddy threw out in the yard and whooped his ass because of it, I mean, that's Jim's claim to fame. Now, I do talk sports, and we talk a lot of sports. Paul, let me ask you something. Now, we're looking at the back room at Auburn. And, you know, those people with the smoking cigars and the billions of dollars. If they're so smart, do you think they run their businesses stepping on their you know, the people they have in place and the different values of their business, you know, the foreman and the district manager and the salespeople. Do you think they do them the same way they did Harsin?
No, because I know for a fact, because he told me once that Jimmy Rain took, either got his MBA, he got an MBA degree or some type of degree from the Harvard Business School, and that's how he runs his business. And I've never heard anybody criticize his business, have you?
No. I mean, it's very successful. But, you know, just because he runs a successful business doesn't make him a brilliant mind when it comes to football. We see a lot of these brilliant football players that can't read, write, and talk, and that's the reason they don't do many interviews. Now, I'm not saying all of them, and there's quite a few of them that are scholars, and they don't end up in the NFL, but they end up with a job for the next 45, 50 years being productive people in society. What are the odds of you getting Jimmy Rain's own and maybe you asking the tough questions? Does he answer? Does he? Does these people in the back room?
I don't think that's going to happen because we did invite him on in the aftermath of Brian Harsin, and I'm still waiting to hear back from him.
Well, you know, that's amazing because all these people that want to be so public, but yet so private, but so public, you would think they would jump at the chance to be on your show like Jim does. I mean, what the hell? 3 calls? Wouldn't you expect some guys like that 4 or 5 calls a day? Just for the record, you know, straighten things out. But I think there's several people you ought to have on. I think you ought to have Saban and Jimbo Fisher on and get to the nuts and the bolts and nuts of that conversation too.
I mean, I don't think that's possible because I've heard both of them say that they have great love and affection for each other, and that was just a bad day.
That was a bad day. I mean, like kind of like the OK Corral, huh? Kind of like Custer's last stand, just a damn bad day.
It was bad, yeah. I mean, Custer to this day, regrets that last stand. Hey, we'll take a short break. Brandon Marcello joining us in just a few minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We're back, and Brandon Marcello joins us. He is just back from Pac-12 Media Days, and we're eager to find out how that went, as well as his sit-down with the commission. Brandon, thank you. Tough trip to go all the way out to the West Coast and hang out. I remember the good old days. You were holed down in Hoover, and now you're in Beverly Hills hanging out with the rich and famous. Good afternoon.
Yeah, jet setting, eating sushi, raw fish, Paul. You know you can eat raw fish? It's incredible.
That's a rumor I've heard once or twice.
Yeah, I had a lot of fun out there, and I enjoyed chatting with Pac-12 Commissioner George Kolovkoff about his conference and everything that's going on there. He was, I want to say he sounded like a wounded animal, but he was not afraid to lash out after all these rumors and reports have been going on for the last month. You know, he's been pretty quiet ever since USC and UCLA made their announcement that they were joining the Big Ten. And since then, we've had all kinds of questions and reports about the Big 12 potentially raiding the Pac-12 out and the Big Ten doing its homework on 4 other teams to potentially join them from the Pac-12. And you know, Kolovkoff said that the Big 12 ADs and presidents have been directly text messaging and sending messages to their Pac-12 colleagues saying, hey, you should join the Big 12. Here's what you could get and all of this. And those messages have been forwarded to the Pac-12 commissioner. And he said that he's got a collection, a big collection of them. I didn't get to see those messages, but I would love to see them, I'm sure, as everybody else would. And he called it tampering, which, of course, I don't think there's tampering really anyway when you discuss conference realignment. But he is really going out there and trying to protect his conference and even going as far as say, hey, listen, any idea that the Big 12 is going to make more money than us in media rights? That's not the case. The Pac-12 is going to make more money. And he said that the Big 12 is scared right now, and he said he could understand why because of that. It's this is a very interesting dynamic going on. Is it seems like it's the Pac-12 against everybody at this moment, and George Kolovkoff, you know, a year onto the job, is finding out quickly that you really can't trust anybody in college athletics.
You know, I was just watching as a fan from a distance. You were there with him, but I liked what he said. You compare and contrast what he said with, hate to pick on this guy because he's taking a beating, but you know, Jim Phillips, out of body, out of reality experience last week in Charlotte. Brandon, tell us what it was like to be around the commissioner, and what do you take away in terms of what's next for that league?
Yeah, you know, real quick, back to Jim Phillips of the ACC, I mentioned that to him. I said, the day after he said everything he said, and I said, do you not realize how much criticism you're going to get for this? And he says, yes, I've been hearing it. I know it, but I do believe in what I believe. So at least there's that on his part. George Kolovkoff, the first thing I noticed with him when I got to sit down with him, it was near the end of the day. It was like 3 in the afternoon. He was rubbing his eyes and apologized to me twice for being tired. he was tired, and he said it's been a long month. And obviously a long day. He's been dealing with the same questions. And as he told me, listen, it's tiring because every day he's chasing down rumors. He's hearing from his own ADs, his own presidents and chancellors going, hey, I heard this school in our own conference is looking at this. Can you look into this for me? And he said it's been a lot of that, like reaching out to his own membership to make sure that these rumors aren't true, but also trying to rally the troops, circle the wagons out there out west and make sure everybody kind of stays in the same circle. So the positive thing I'll say about the Pac-12 with all this is they've got a commissioner who's done a very good job in rallying everybody, providing them some baseline information as far as what their financial situation could look like here in the future. And he has explained to them, listen, hold pat here. I know you all have to make decisions, but you've got to give me a few months to figure this all out. And he told me he thinks that by the end of the year, he'll have a new television media rights deal in place. And he hopes that within the next year that they will have in place, if they have decided at that point, new teams to announce to add to the conference. And I compare it a lot to what the Big 12 was in last year. I think a lot of us are sitting here thinking they're just going to get raided. Maybe the AAC comes in, raids them, and that league, much like the old Southwest Conference, is just going to end up dissolving. Well, that didn't happen. They were patient for a few months. The membership there was patient, and they stuck around, and they've managed to get everything back on the right track. Now, they're not going to be, say, even the third best conference in this new look college athletics, but it's a strong enough conference to stay afloat and still be part of the conversation. The Pac-12, I think, is following along in that similar path right now. The only difference is you've got two Power Five conferences who are actively either doing their homework on potential programs to add to their conferences, or they're actively recruiting, as in the Big 12 situation, at least according to the allegations we hear from George Kolovkoff.
I realize we're getting into the world of speculation now, but in terms of both leagues, what's the short list of schools look like and to where?
Well, when you look at the Big 12, the four Pac-12 South schools that are still remaining there, you got Colorado, you've got Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State. Those are the ones that make the most sense. And those are the schools I've been hearing the most from unofficial channels, so to speak, from the Big 12. The Big 10, as CBS Sports' Dennis Dodd and Brett McMurphy of the Action Network have reported, are California, Stanford, Oregon, and Washington. And those schools make absolute sense for them, just from the standpoint of those being AAU schools and with their academic record. Will that happen? I think that the Big Ten adding those schools, those four schools, is actually more likely than the Big 12 adding those Pac-12 South schools that I just mentioned. Why is that? Because I think that those Pac-12 South schools are in a much more beneficial situation by staying in the Pac-12 than leaving for the Big 12. So I think like the first move you could actually probably see here within the next calendar year, which might seem like a long time, but really isn't when we consider realignment. The next calendar year, it might be Cal, Stanford, Oregon, and Washington accepting invitations to the Big Ten and starting that process. But I don't think though that process really will start until the turn of the new year and whenever the Pac-12 figures out what their media rights situation is going to look like. Because at that point, those schools will have direct numbers to directly compare and contrast to what the Big Ten might offer them, and then, of course, the Big 12 might offer them. Of course, the Big Ten is going to trump everybody when it comes to finances, but I do believe that Oregon, Washington, those schools, they owe it to the Pac-12 as members to stand pat, honor their agreement there of let us work on these things for the next few months before they look their own way and potentially move. So what would that would do, of course, was set off another line of realignment potentially, and that's when you might actually see the Big 12 pick up those four Pac-12 South schools. But I think the first dominoes will be, and if it does happen, would be the Big 10 poaching those four schools out of the Pac-12.
Yeah, Brandon, I'm not overly concerned, you know, whether Utah, Colorado, Arizona State go. But if those other four go to the Big 10, what happens to the rest of college football? Does the SEC sit there and watch, especially after getting shrapnel flying everywhere with this new Big Ten deal, or do they continue to wait?
I don't think you can wait. I mean, maybe you do. Maybe you feel comfortable enough at 16. But the way it stands now, it appears the Big Ten is going to be earning more money. And this is a lot what it's all about. It's not about money all the time, but this is the crux of the issue. The Big Ten is going to earn more money than the SEC when you look at 16 teams versus 16 teams. And so the SEC is in a position where I think they're happy to stay at 16, but if the Big Ten were to add four more teams and become a 20-team league, then you maybe do have to act, because then the financial gap becomes wider, the competitive imbalance could potentially become wider, the Big Ten could have more teams in the playoff, in the postseason, and be winning more national championships as a result, not just in football, but basketball and the other sports. That is something to really consider there. I think the SEC would have to keep their eyes open. And to me, I think that's the only way the SEC ends up expanding, is if the Big Ten does something drastic like adding four more schools, which I think if they were to raid the Pac-12, that's what would end up happening. I don't think it would be two teams. I think it would end up being four to get up to 20.
Okay, just a final question. We're short on time, but I realize we're playing parlor games here, but let's say that did happen, and those are all impressive schools, and they fit the Big Ten model of AAU for the most part. Hello, Nebraska, yeah. And not the footprint, but they fit a lot of the needs. What if you had to pick four schools out of the hat, where would you go with the SEC at that point?
That's when I think if you're the SEC and the Big Ten has gone to 20. You got to worry about what your future looks like 20 years down the line. And that's when you consider, let's help out these payouts and maybe have discussions with ESPN and the ACC about, hey, we're going to rip away four of your programs, Florida State, Clemson, Miami, North Carolina, whatever combination you want to be. Let's get this done. We are willing to suffer any financial loss here over the next 5 years. That grant of rights runs through 2036 in the ACC, but I think if the Big Ten were to make a drastic move like that, that's when that talk would actually ramp up. There would be some validity to the idea of a Clemson or a Miami joining the SEC at that point, because I think you have to make a move if you're the SEC, because the Big Ten's already going to be earning more money than you when you took a look at a 16-team league against a 16-team league, 20 against 16 would be extremely advantageous for the Big Ten, not just financially, but competitively in all sports. The SEC would have to make a move, and I think they wouldn't look to the Big 12 or to the Pac-12 South for those schools we mentioned earlier. I think they'd have to look at the ACC for the better fits geographically and also financially and competitively when you're looking at the far future 20 years down the road. but that's gonna be a lot of money, and who knows, maybe some court time. That would be fascinating to watch. But again, a lot of hypotheticals, but not out of the realm of possibility.
Brandon Marcello, thank you very, very much. Great to have you on. That's a lot to chew on there. There was a report out today in The Athletic by Seth Emerson, which quotes a number of people saying Fox engineered the other move, the UCLA-USC move, which we've talked about here many times. And it essentially said that the networks, the television networks, Fox and ESPN, are running all of this expansion chatter. I'm just passing along from the article since it was a subscriber only. And we'll take a break. Much more to come right here.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are going to the phone calls right now. They've been some good ones so far. And how about Slim? God, I wonder if anybody else is called Slim in the state of Tennessee. Good afternoon.
You know, Paul, I'd say there is. I can't answer that question with 100%. But let me just say something about the volunteers.
Please do.
The only thing that's going to stop Heupel from winning the East is going to be the pressure, because this team is loaded to the gills. They have something that a lot of teams and coaches wish they had, and that's speed.
Okay, you're right.
They have speed. Pardon?
No, I was agreeing with you.
Yes. And they have a quarterback who, by all means, is going to be a Heisman candidate if he don't get injured. And I only see them stepping on their own toes to not to win the East. Now, Georgia ain't going to be their issue. The only game that I see, and I can't see down LSU may, because I don't know what time a day that game's going to be played.
Well, that's a good question. My guess is that's going to be an afternoon
depending
game.
On the schedule.
Yeah, because I have not seen CBS's schedule, but I cannot imagine that CBS is not going to put Alabama, Texas A&M in prime time. So if that is the case, then you will likely get the LSU game in the afternoon as the prelude.
Well,
so if I think I've answered your question there without knowing for a fact.
You have. And Paul, last year, Tennessee's defense, I think they give up right around 29, 30 points a game.
Right.
That's not going to happen this year. That ain't going to happen. You ain't going to see.
What is going to be so good about the Tennessee defense?
Well, Banks has got his defense. He's got it like he wants it now.
Okay, so Slim, let me go over this again with you. The only game that you think could be an issue that you don't think Tennessee can win is the LSU game. Is that right?
That's correct. That's correct.
And, that's correct. And that means you feel pretty comfortable about beating Georgia and Alabama at home.
I feel good.
Yeah.
I feel good.
I feel good. Was that song by James Brown? I can't remember.
Tennessee. Only thing that's going to beat Tennessee is going to beat Tennessee. Going to beat Tennessee because they're not going to beat.
You're a Vol fan, have been for a long time. Can you name me the last? I can, by the way. Can you name me the last Tennessee season when Tennessee didn't beat Tennessee?
Oh man, no, I can't.
I think you might want to go back to 1998.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
And by the way, they almost beat Tennessee. They almost beat themselves that year, but thanks to Clint Storner, they got a lucky break.
Well, Paul, you know, we all got to get them lucky breaks, brother.
Well, you're right.
And we got a great kicking team.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that can't, you know.
Let me get two more answers
for you. Hourglass, brother.
Okay, where are you from? Where in Tennessee do you live?
I live in the West End.
The west part of Tennessee?
Knoxville. West
End of Knoxville. Okay, yeah, I know where you live. So, Slim from the West End of Knoxville is calling a shot right now. Tennessee no worse than 11-1. Is that right?
No worse. No, sir.
I am drunker than hell.
So no worse than 11-1.
You can be drunker than hell. I don't care.
And I will vouch for you, Slim, as a fellow Tennessean. You don't sound drunk.
No, sir, I'm not. I'm fully confident that Heupel, he's a winner, Paul, and he's got his ducks in a row, and I think the public will see it on display.
Yeah.
The first five games, and you're going to see Hooker without injury. You're going to see him as a Heisman head runner.
Well, Slim, I tell you what, if Tennessee is 11-1. We're 12-0.
There ain't no if about it, brother. It's going to happen.
I would say Hooker will be in New York in the Heisman front row if that is the case. I will agree with you on that.
Well, thank you. But
Slim, you know what? I'd love to hang up on you and break into Rocky Top. I'm just not sure I have the same confidence as you do.
You just keep hanging in there. You'll get that confidence when they're about 5-0. After the Florida game, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
For those in the radio listening on radio, Ball State at Pittsburgh, Akron, Florida at LSU, Alabama, UT Martin, Kentucky at Georgia, Missouri at South Carolina, and at Vanderbilt. You know what? I do see a good season coming.
Hey, it is a weak schedule.
It is. Tennessee has a great schedule this year.
It is. It sets up perfect, Paul.
I mean, you play absolutely well. Pittsburgh. You're not a little bit concerned about Pittsburgh?
Not one bit.
Okay.
Not one bit. And I think the public will see that.
Pittsburgh has a big opening game, don't they, against West Virginia?
That's a big time rivalry game.
You're right. They may be let down. They beat Tennessee last year. I mean I've been around those parts, and there's nothing bigger than West Virginia Pittsburgh. That's the backyard brawl or whatever they call it. So you know what? I agree with you. They could be hung over from that game. But are they going to be hung over enough to go 11-1 or 12-0? I don't know. Maybe. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
What an afternoon we've had here. And Slim Shady a minute ago with the Vols going at least 11-1, getting a lot of attention. Jay is in Knoxville. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Slim had been drinking too much orange Kool-Aid.
I don't know. I've been, you live in Knoxville. I think it's called Orange Moonshine.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but you're correct.
and they make good moonshine up there in those East Tennessee hills.
Yes, sir, we do. But we're also logical about these things, what's going on here in Knoxville. And everybody's got big hype, but it's not that. We're going to be 8-4, maybe 9-3, but that's the best we're going to do.
You know what? That's not too bad. Hey, thank you for the call. Mike is in Kentucky. Mike, good afternoon.
Hey, what's up, Paul?
Hey there, Mike.
Hey, man, Slim inspired a song. You want to hear it?
I do, yes.
Things still suck on good old Rocky Top down in them Tennessee hills. Will they get it right on Rocky Top? Probably never will. Rocky Top, you'll always be dumb you to me. Good old.
Okay,
Rocky
Mikey,
Top.
We have to interrupt you because we don't want to do any copyright infringement there. If you go more, how far can you go on a song before? Yeah, that's as far as you can go without us paying a big bill. So as much as we like Rocky Top, we'll let the Tennessee folks sing it. Gary is up next. Good afternoon, Gary.
Hey, Paul. I got a question I want to ask you, and then if you don't mind, I'd respond to you after your answer.
Sure.
If you were to pick a time in recent history when college football has changed, where the transfer portal, the focus on money has emerged, could you narrow it to a specific time that you think it really started?
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of answers. I mean, you have to go back about, let me think, it would be about 38 years ago when this Supreme Court decision really shot down the television restrictions. And what happened then is that instead of having, if you're an Alabama, Tennessee, Florida fan, seeing your team three times a year, you then started seeing them play 7 or 8 or 9 times a year. So that was one iteration. And then I would say really in the last 10 years, when television just became overwhelming, networks like this, ESPN, 1, 2, 3, whatever, where everything became available from 11 o'clock in the morning till midnight. And that was to me the biggest change. I mean, I think what's happening now is certainly it's significant, but it's been coming for many, many years.
Agreed. And my answer might could ruffle some feathers, but first of all, I want to say I respect Nick Saban. I think the world of Nick Saban as a coach and as a man. I think he's incredible. He's the best in my opinion. But in my opinion, Paul, when he got the $8 million contract, I think that had as much of an impact on things moving as anything, because I think along with the television revenues and everything else, all the peripheral money that come about, I think the players not the players just wanted to start saying, well, where's my cut?
True.
And Paul, mine is I'm getting a little fed up with the them having the opportunity to have scholarships and leave a school, and you have fans that come and get season tickets, and they hope to see such and such on the field, and he's not going to play because he's concerned.
Gary,
about
let me stop you because we're up against a break. But you made a really good point. Money has changed everything. Has that ever been said before?
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.